Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover, and we have some really special guests that we're talking with today, and we think you're going to love hearing from them. Juwan and Melody DeVivo have been married for 20 years, and they have been touring worldwide with a band that you are going to recognize for 17 years with Casting Crowns. And Juwan plays guitar and sings background vocals, and Melody is a vocalist and plays violin and cello.
Yes, do not call that a fiddle. So, Casting Crowns, their list of awards goes on and on and on. And it was amazing that they've been around for 17 plus years. That's a lot of staying power for a Christian band, but any band. And the awards from American Music Awards, Billboard Music Awards, Dove Awards, Grammys keep going on. We've gotten to know these guys, Bonnie and I have, over the past 17, 18 years, 20 years, and man, we love their music, but even more so, we love their hearts, and everybody in the band, we love their hearts for God, for ministry, and for families, and that's why we wanted to have them on the podcast today. So, Juwan and Melody, welcome, and thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
You're
welcome.
Uh-huh. So we've got to say this. Juwan and Melody live on a farm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And cell service is not at a premium in the middle of nowhere. We were going to do this over Zoom, and then they were like, we don't have good internet out here. So, So if we drop one of you guys.
We'll try to get you back.
We still love you.
Yep. So
cell phone service isn't that great either.
So the chances are high.
That's all right.
Yes.
Well, we're willing to take a chance on it, so thank y'all.
Good.
A lot has happened in the world since we saw you guys back, I guess, in November.
Mm-hmm. We visited the farm, hung out. Our kids jumped on the trampoline.
So what have you been? What have y'all been up to with all this going on?
So much. People have been complaining, oh man, it's so boring. We have really nothing to do. We had so much projects and things piling up out here because there's a lot of places that don't have grass. They have to plant. I'm planting grass. That's one thing. But then we made some pavers in the back, and I got a little bit of a barn built. So I started cleaning out the garage. And I've spent 97% of my time outside doing stuff, just outside yard work, basically. She's been homeschooling. That's the other thing. And so we've been homeschooling. That's just what we do. And then, when all the kids that go to regular school, they got a week home after, for a week, it was like new. Like, hey, I get to do school at home. Mm-hmm. And everybody enjoyed that newness of it. So we didn't even get that when everything locked down. We were like, oh, it's homeschool. Just like what we've been doing. We're just going to do the same thing we've been doing.
You're just not going and doing it on a bus anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And bus school is way different.
Yes, I'll bet. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to dig in a little bit, man. We're anxious to find out about you guys, your marriage, what it's like to travel with the Crowns. But before we do that, we have a very, very important lightning round.
All right, Miss Melody, this is a segment we call Lightning Round. I'm going to ask you as many questions as you can answer in 2 minutes. Are you ready?
I think so.
What do you call what you play, a violin or fiddle?
I say violin. My teacher would be disappointed in me if I didn't.
How old were you when you started playing violin?
I was 11.
Can you play The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
I have played it.
What's your favorite Casting Crowns song?
Oh, gosh. Probably Praise You in the Storm because of the violin part.
That's a good one. What's your favorite place you've ever performed?
Probably Carnegie Hall.
Oh. How long does it usually take you to learn a new song?
It depends on how difficult it is. So if it's just like a, if it's a praise and worship song, it might just take me 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. If you could do anything else for a living, what would it be?
Ooh, probably make things. Like I like to draw, I like to sew things, I like to crochet. So I'd probably be making things.
What's your favorite
thing?
What? What's your favorite thing to do on your off day?
Cook and watch movies.
Oh.
Josie, it sounds like y'all are a lot alike. Uh-huh. Make things, cook, watch movies. That's incredible. All right, what was Carnegie Hall like?
That was pretty surreal because I remember sitting on the floor on the shag green carpet in our house when I was a kid and watching It's Like Proman play and other people, you know, that are as talented as him in the orchestra.
Man. All right, Josie, so you're about to turn 11. If you start playing violin when you turn 11 in August, you could tour nationally one day.
There you go.
All right, that's 2 minutes. Well, today we have husband and wife, Juwan and Melody DeVivo from Casting Crowns. If you've ever seen them, Juwan plays the guitar, Melody plays the violin, not fiddle. Although when you play Devil Went Down to Georgia, you have to call it a fiddle. Because I think that's a fiddle of, he bet a fiddle of gold against his soul.
Right. It's in the song.
It's in the song. So, so anyway, but since this is a marriage podcast, we want to dig a little bit into your marriage, right? So tell us how you guys met.
Oh, we're going all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to school in Daytona Beach. Like when I started, I grew up going to church. So when I finally moved away for college, I kind of just didn't, you know, like, I don't have to get up for church. So that worked for about like 3 or 4 weeks. And I was like, I should probably go to church. So I basically just picked the biggest church that I could see the steeple from the school. So I went to First Baptist at Daytona Beach. And it was cool because I was already a Baptist. And the first day there, I got roped into the college ministry. I was like, I'm an introvert, so I don't seek out people. So they grabbed me and pulled me into the college group. But that was like fall semester. So I made friends in that group. And then spring semester, Melody, how did you get?
No, I didn't see you that whole first year.
Yeah.
I was still in high school that whole first year. You were at Henry Riddle. So it was the next January of your sophomore year that I came to the college group. So I went and I did know one person. Well, I mean, I knew a lot of the people, but not like really well. You know what I mean? I had seen them before and knew their names. So I went and Juwan was there and I was talking to him and he wasn't really like answering me and like, he would just kind of look out of the corner of his eye like, why is she talking to me is what it seemed like. I was like, okay, well. So then I had to leave early and I couldn't remember his name. And I was like, hey, I was talking to somebody. I said, what's that guy's name? Is it Johan? I think he parked behind me and I have to go.
That's officially what we're calling him now.
Johan.
Yeah. So Juwan. I could not remember Juwan. I knew there was a J sound and an on at the end, but it wasn't. I was like, what was it? Johan? Oh gosh, it was hilarious.
So how did you guys end up making that connection?
Johan, did you ask her out?
So
and she turned me down.
Ooh.
No. Don't even. We've already known each other for a long time. So that Wednesday night, I think it was, I showed up at youth group because that was my youth group, you know, not, you know, just the summer before. And he was up on the stage playing the guitar. I was like, what's this guy doing here?
Johan.
And I thought, what's that guy Johan doing here? And so then after that, he came down, or after the service, he came over and he's like, do you like to eat? And I was like, yeah. Because, I don't know. Would you like to eat? I was like, oh, okay. And so then I didn't know that there was going to be other people there. I thought it was me and him. And so I show up at this Subway, and it's like all the college people. So immediately we just had this whole, we hung out with all the college people all the time. Like we were all together probably like 5 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Doing something silly or stupid or, you know, going somewhere and playing putt-putt golf or something like that. So the first 5 months we knew each other. We were always with all the other college people that were in our group at church. Mm-hmm. Well, so it was really fun.
We technically group dated, but we didn't know that was an actual thing.
I'm glad that Subway wasn't his first official date with you.
Right. No, not like a first date. Well, did we have a first date?
No, because we, at like, so 5 months later, it was when he was talking about when he asked me out, and I kind of like, I didn't turn him down. I had just been freaked out by my dad. But it basically, he just freaked me out about dating anybody. So,
especially a guitar player.
When Juwan asked me that, I was like, I don't know. But then we were dating, what, a week or two later anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the whole group dating thing, like, I guess prepared you for life on a tour bus.
Nothing prepared you for that.
How did you guys get involved with Crowns? How did you get hooked up with Mark and all them?
Well, so I was leading worship at First Day of Atona for the students. Because for me, our youth group, when I was in high school, youth group at my church was kind of like a tiny church. It was just, you know, teenagers in the congregation, and my youth pastor basically just tried his sermons out on us. And so it felt like I don't know if I was like, does he even like teenagers, or does he just want to be a senior pastor somewhere? So we didn't really have like what you know youth group as nowadays, where there's games and the high energy music and none of that. Yeah. So if you think about a really old fashioned church, that was my youth group. Mm-hmm. So when I got to First Daytona, I just thought, you know, they have church on Wednesday, so I'll go over there on Wednesday. And this is when I was meeting Rick. Rick was, this is back when cassette tapes existed. Mm. So he would sing us,
a
song to a cassette tape. They'd lead worship one song, and then he'd run to the back and flip the tape over and run to the front and say another. And I remember after like 2 weeks of that, I went up to him. I'm like, I think I can learn these songs. I've been playing guitar for like a year, so I think I can play them if you want me to do that. And I literally don't remember the next thing, but we had a band. That's the next thing I remember, is that we had a guy that played drums, a guy that played bass, and I was playing guitar, and he just let me start singing.
Old Rick jumped like, all over that idea.
Yeah, he was like, oh, great, you do it. So that's the reason he was doing all that, though, is because we didn't have a youth pastor. And then like a year... No.
It was after we got engaged.
2.5 years.
We did the music for the youth group for that whole time until then we had another youth pastor there.
Yeah, at the time, that's right.
But for like, we were only without a youth pastor for like a little while, and then there was one, and then
what?
He moved on, right?
He changed positions at the church.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so we didn't have a youth pastor for a little while.
It was like a year.
And then Mark came. Yeah. Mm. So, and we were already graduated and engaged by that time.
And he came in as your youth pastor.
So Mark came as a youth pastor, and we were, you know, just doing the music, you know, like we normally do. And he goes, I sing a little bit. Can I sing with you guys? And we're like, yeah, that's cool. And so he starts singing, and we're like, man, he's got a great voice. And then, you know, I don't know how many weeks later, he goes, I write some songs. Can we do one of those? And we're like, whoa, you write songs? That's awesome. Oh, like, we got to hear this. And so I just remember him, I don't know if he played it on it was on a cassette. He played a song for us, I think, on in the youth room. And I just remember sitting there going, whoa, this is really different. Mm. There's something different about this. And I mean, I couldn't tell you what it was at the time, but it was just, I knew there was something there,
anointed.
But I couldn't explain it to you. Mm-hmm.
And that's what year?
We were all playing together, and then when we were playing outside the church, we had to come up with a name for ourselves. otherwise, they'd just be saying, "This is the First Baptist Youth Group Praise Band," from Ocean Beach. It was just a long, awkward name. So Mark came up with that. That was the only name we even considered.
Wow. What year was that?
Yeah.
The name 99. Was probably what, 99? Yeah.
Oh, the name, probably the next year, probably like 2000. Cause that's when Hector started playing drums.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then y'all all moved from there up to Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was 2001. I think was when we moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a while ago.
Yeah, that was, So so from our perspective, how we met these guys. So in another life, 20 years ago, Bonnie and I traveled and led worship, and we really had a heart for those terrible student bands they were just telling you about, and the youth pastors that would lead from a tape deck. So we did clinics. We would go in and do clinics for worship bands and mainly student worship bands at churches. And then we started doing conferences and all. And I'll never forget after our first conference, I guess it was 2001 because y'all were here. Maybe it was our second year. I get a package in the mail, and a youth pastor named Mark said, "Hey, my youth group band came. Man, we loved it. It was great. Here's our CD." And I was like, "Oh, this is cool." And I was like, "I don't know what I could do to help him, but, nothing, obviously." And so I played it, and I was like, "Wow, this is really good."
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, I'm watching TV, and y'all are on the Dove Awards. and instantly, I told Bonnie, "Bonnie, we're responsible for them being there because they attended our workshop."
Yeah.
But it was like to everyone else, it was like an overnight success. But for you guys, it had been in the making for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you should put that on the pamphlet. That would have definitely helped.
Well,
we turned Cassie Crowns from student worship praise band to Dove Award winning artist.
Well, and the amazing thing is, I mean, we knew you guys back then, and you were in student ministry, and you guys still have a heart for church, and Cassie Crowns has gotten real, and it's become obviously a very successful group. But the amazing thing to us is that you all still have the same humble hearts and your love for God and people. And I'm constantly wondering how on a platform like that, how have you guys managed to do that?
I really work on my humility. I stare into the mirror at least 45 minutes just saying, "You are humble. You are a humble man."
I've heard that's the best way to do that.
I think part of it, one thing is because I can tell you from my personal perspective is it's because we're in the church, because we stay, because that's where God's going to do his work is through the church. So we want people to understand that that's where we're putting most of our energy is, there's people there at our church that we need to minister to, and we get ministered by, the people there, and not just the staff, but like, the people that are in what we would call a congregation as people that we sing to. But then like when I'm sitting in life group or our small groups, they'll say things, or we'll know what's going on in their lives. And the things that they say, they are minister to us as well. So that's, I think, just understanding that there's not like levels to ministry, and we think that there's a stardom to it. Even within a church, we think like pastor's the star and the worship team is like the rock stars and stuff. And then we're just like we're the fans of that. But that doesn't work that way. There's people that are disciplers, and there's people that are prayer warriors, and there's people that are servants, and there's people that sing, and there's people that speak. And that's all part of the body of Christ. And that's what I think we know that we try not to get too much self-importance out of all that.
That's good. That's really good. So traveling as a couple, married couple, and now with kids and everything on a bus full of other people.
For most of your marriage.
For most of your marriage, yeah. How is that? And I'm sure in the early years it wasn't a bus. It was a van or minivan or cars. But how does that work? And when you have conflict with each other, how do you work through that when there's no privacy?
My dad is Italian, and they would kind of, my mom and dad would kind of fight with each other in front of us. I don't know. I know sometimes that's a weird culture to people sometimes, but that's the thing. They don't call it fighting. They would debate, but my dad and mom were always reasonable about those things. And sometimes he'd lose his mind and just walk out of the house for a little bit and cool off. But that's the thing is, so when you're on a bus and you and your wife have a disagreement, some people would be embarrassed by that, but I feel like when we're talking to each other, I'm not embarrassed. I'm trying to, my personal thing is I want to get to the bottom of this, whatever this is, and let's fix it. And so sometimes it doesn't work like that, but I know it makes our bandmates uncomfortable when we're having it out a little bit. But,
well, there's a few married couples, so I'm sure they all have their times.
We don't argue a ton, I don't think.
But I feel like we both try to be reasonable and we just want to fix whatever this is. This is a problem. Let's fix the problem.
Well, and you know, I think sometimes if we were in front of people all the time, married couples might handle their conflict a little better because people are watching and you want to be reasonable in front of other people. So
we tell married couples that, listen, when you go to problem solve something, go out and do it at a restaurant. Because at a restaurant or a public place, you're gonna be more conscious about yourself, your emotions, and you're gonna probably focus more on solving the problem because you have that accountability of people.
So it works for firing people and marriage discussions. When you fire somebody, you take them to a public place.
That's funny.
I actually see him less when we're on the road. If that makes sense.
Really?
Then when we're home, like when we're home, we're here in the same house the whole time. But like when we're on the road, I'm on the bus for, you know, all morning and part of the afternoon doing school. And he's inside doing whatever he needs to do. Mm-hmm. Because he still has stuff on the computer he has to do. He'll go exercise and stuff. And then the kids and I'll go in at lunch. But then we go right back out to the bus to finish school. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then we have sound check and prayer time. And then we're all getting ready. And then I see him less on the road than at home. But I think for us, like, because we're one of the only two married people on the road. So Mark and Melanie are married, and she's our road manager, tour manager, and then we're married, and then everybody else has their spouse at home. And so I think, I mean, we talk about it we've talked about it over the years. It's like everybody's situation is different, but it seems to all even out. So like we're both on the road. So there's nobody here cleaning our house or buying the groceries or mowing the lawn. So when we come home, we have to do all that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, everybody else is without their spouse, but then that spouse is home taking care of the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it could become a thing where you're resentful, because you're like, oh, well your husband's here or your wife is here or whatever. And I don't get to see mine, but you know, they're also home. When they come home, they have a meal ready. I'm like, well, we're on tour. Our pantry's empty. There's no food.
Wives and husbands too, though.
And that's the other thing is like we don't get the chance to miss each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I say that I'm like you get. I mean, we've never actually had this conversation with anybody because nobody, you know, says these things out loud because they think them through. But it just evens out in one way or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and what does it look like? Okay, so pre-quarantine, obviously, but what does it look like for how long are you on the road, and then how much do you get to be home?
I think it'd be interesting for everyone to kind of get a sneak peek of the behind the scenes of your travel life. What does that look like? Yeah.
You know, maybe
Wednesday night we'll do it.
Okay.
Wednesday night we do student services on Wednesday nights, and we'll do Melody helps teach the vocalists, the singers, because I can put a band together, mm-hmm. but I can't tell you how to sing. I can say, you know, you're flat, but I can't teach you the mechanics of it. So she'll help with the vocalists, and then I put the band together, then we'll sing and we worship there. And then since we live now a little further out, we just leave church and walk and get on the bus and go Wednesday or Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night shows. And then Sunday morning, we get up and usually get off the bus and go lead worship on Sunday morning. And then we'll have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at home doing school and yard work. And
yeah.
So when you packing or repacking or whatever,
you leave Wednesday night. When you wake up Thursday morning, you're typically in the city you're going to play in.
Yeah,
usually, unless it's a long drive and, you know, mm-hmm. it just depends. And there are some tours where, you know, it's not Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like if we have to go out west, we usually take 3 weeks straight to do the beginning of those kind of tours. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally there might be a 10-day run here and there on a big tour. But usually it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah,
that we try to stick to.
So I guess that's all that your kids. So you've got two children, Jesse and Rory. What are their ages now?
Jesse just turned 13.
Wow.
And Rory is 11 and a half.
Man. So how?
Yeah,
this
year they'll both be in middle school.
Wow. Yeah, they'll both be in the youth group next year, not just Jesse. Yeah. And they were basically born, you know, on the bus. Mm. So, I started bringing them out when they were 2 months old.
Wow.
Or 2 or 3 months old. And so they've never known anything different.
And so you've always homeschooled them, and they've just known this life the whole time. How have you balanced that out? The whole touring and the parenting and all of that. How has that been balanced for you guys?
Well, we have a nanny, right, that travels with, like on the road, we only need a nanny on the road because, when we do sound check and then we play the concert, we just need somebody to watch them.
Yeah.
So she's basically just a babysitter for when we go do our show. But so when we're home, we do school, and then after school, we kick them outside or make them read or something. We don't do screens during the week for you other homeschoolers.
Yeah.
So Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Right now they're glutting on.
They are binging on their
video games.
Switches and but it's like if you kind of just imagine what it's going to be like. And Melanie's good at giving me a lot of details about some things. She'll say, you know, okay, heads up, the next few weeks are going to be like this, you know. So I just have to think ahead and try to make sure I pack everything that we need for school and all that stuff. And there's been times where we've forgotten something and I had to do without it and either just make it up when we got back or something like that. But, so we just kind of tailored everything to the life we live. Mm-hmm. So we do Charlotte Mason type, homeschool stuff. So it's a lot of reading, which is easier to do on a moving bus. If, you know, if we're having long, you know, travel days or anything, you don't do a ton of writing in Charlotte Mason style homeschool. So reading works out great because I've got a bunk. I can go, hey, go read this. Or I can sit in the back and read to them their history. And I just, you know, and the lessons are short, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes maybe. So it works out good. And then we try to do a lot of stuff before we leave, like on Monday, Tuesday. Those are the longest school days because I don't want to take as many books.
Yeah.
And we're busy on Thursdays and Fridays. So Thursdays and Fridays are the shortest school days. So it's just thinking ahead and being creative with how you do stuff.
Yeah.
That's how it.
I just realized how much of our lives revolve around just school. Whatever we do. Like if we didn't have the kids, we'd just pack our suitcases and get on a bus. Mm-hmm. But like the thing we do is like, okay, we got to do school here. Yeah.
But
we remember those days. Really.
You have to be responsible parents.
Yeah. So we had, you know, we went and hung out and saw you guys back at the end of last year. And we went and saw you guys in Nashville play at Bridgestone Arena. And the funny thing happened was we hung out with you guys back in, you know, backstage, ate lunch with Brian, the drummer. And Brian used to travel with us, good buddy. And then y'all stole him from it. I'm not bitter, but that's fine. It worked out slightly better for Brian. That worked out way better for Brian.
Yeah.
But then we ate dinner with you guys backstage and everything. And our kids and us were meeting so many people because Hillsong was there.
Oh, yeah.
And then Elevation was there.
The Elevation guys.
So, like, one of the worst things. I mean, my kids are coughing, sneezing. It's the middle of winter. We're trying to keep them away from food. Colby literally wipes his nose with snot and then reaches out and introduces himself to Brooke, used to be Fraser. It's can't remember married name now. And so I'm like, no. And she goes, it's okay. Well, the next morning we wake up in the hotel and both Josie and I had like 103 degree fever.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, I look at Bonnie and I'm like, we just took down that whole tour. I mean, everyone's going to get sick. They're going to cancel the whole thing.
And it was our fault.
And I didn't want to mention it to any of you guys that we were sick. I said, don't put on social that we're sick. Don't, because if they all get sick, they're going to blame. It's going to be awful.
We did ask later, and I don't think anybody did get sick. So
nobody got sick.
We were
Oh my goodness. It was funny. But how do you, night after night, I think this will be interesting for people. How do you night after night, you know, three or four times a week, stand before that many people in arenas and your ministry be authentic? That's got to be tough, that it doesn't just become something.
Yeah, for me, it's like, it's because we actually stay in the Word. So during a tour, I can't think of a time where we don't do this. But well, it's different on different things. Like during a big tour, we'll get everybody, all the bands together and the crew, and somebody will share something they're learning, something they're reading, something that God showed them, and then we'll pray over the night. So then you keep the perspective of there's people coming here, and they need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everybody that comes in here is going to need Jesus, even like down to the security and the concession stand workers. Like they all need Jesus. So that keeps your mind in the fact that, okay, they're not coming here. They're coming here, but they don't need me. They need Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and then like when we're at a fair or something where we're just doing over the summers, when we're doing festivals, it'll just be Crowns and crew and our crew that get together and pray and stuff. But, for me, that's a big deal on the road. Off the road, you know, like I said, we were plugged into church. And so that kind of keeps you in the same perspective of, we're all humans, and there's no elevation between those humans. Some people are more notarized and people are more recognizable, but we all are the same people, the same problems. Mm-hmm. No temptation has taken us that's not common to everyone. So that to me is what the deal is. To me, like as far as the number of people, I feel like it's the same thing, because the only difference is that it's a lot easier to energy wise in the performance. If there's 10,000 people, there's a lot more energy in the room than there is.
Yeah.
Like our first thing we did when we moved to Georgia was we packed up a U-Haul and went and did a D-Now for 15 kids in Kentwood, Louisiana. And that was a little hard to get the energy up. But still, I would still do that. Even if Mark goes, hey, we got a disciple now to play. I'm like, let's go do it.
Yeah.
And even if it was like 100 kids, I would go do that. Because it's the same thing, the same situation. There's people, human beings, in that room who need to get connected with Christ. And that's just, to me, that's a huge responsibility.
Man, I love it.
And that's what's so great, I think, that is, it's still your hearts to just reach people, whether it's 1,000, if it's 100, if it's the kids in your student ministry. I love that has helped keep you grounded. It's helped keep you focused on keeping the main thing the main thing. And it comes through in your music. It comes through when you're in concert and just in conversation with people. And it's refreshing.
I feel like it gives us fuel. You know, we're talking about how we've been around for a while. And I think that's the fuel of it, is that it has a purpose in what we're doing, instead of just trying to keep this thing alive. We're like, well, let's, speak the truth. Mm-hmm. And try to tell people what the truth is. That's our thing. We want to see lives change. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that's just, it's a cycle. We say and speak truth, and then people share with us, you know, the influence that's having, or they use it. They tell us the ways that God has used that in their lives. And then that encourages us to keep doing that's what fuels it, not success or anything like that. It's just the purpose of it.
Well, and it's a bigger purpose than just making music. It's the Holy Spirit working through you to reach the heart of the people sitting in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Exactly. I think that works for anything, not just music. If you're just doing something, you don't want to just succeed at it. You want to have a deeper purpose. That's the only way it's going to keep you getting out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Especially when you're in quarantine and you feel like, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yes. No
exactly.
Well, no doubt. I know there've got to be some challenges for you probably working together on the road. I know you like the homeschool thing and all those things, but let me say this. What has been probably maybe one of the most fun things about getting to do tour together? And like you said, some people don't get to bring their spouse along, but what's your favorite part about getting to do this together?
Melody, what's your favorite part?
I didn't know you wanted me to do it. I don't know. I like when we go all over, you know, the U.S. and stuff, we're all together. So we get to see some things when, you know, we have an off day, you know, here and there. We don't have to see just the back of a venue or the, you know, the inside of an arena. So we'll, you know, try to look for things to do. But we've gotten to see a lot of the U.S. just over the years with the kids. So not just one of us, but all of us. Yeah. So that's probably been my favorite thing. And then I really love cupcakes. I'm buying cupcakes everywhere we go. And now donuts too. The kids are like donuts. So we look for cupcakes and donuts and all over the U.S.
You have a favorite cupcake place?
My favorite cupcake place is in Spokane, Washington.
You can't get that every day.
No.
So if you're ever out that way, you want to give them a shout out just in case?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. What place? They have a long name. Something like Sweet Frostings, Blissful Bake Shop or something like that.
Yeah. Hashtag.
We know how to get there.
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
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 That's incredible.
If you drop us off at the park in Spokane, we can walk there.
Yeah.
We know, that's how well we know that route. But that's what I was going to say. Like early on, we would go to a lot of children's museums because the kids, you're on the bus, so when the kids are young and you're on the bus, you're like, no, don't touch that. There's so much stuff not to touch or climb on or whatever. It's like when you get to a children's museum, you're like, touch everything. Go. I mean, probably not anymore. It might be different, you know, when we start to play together.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yes, run wild, do the thing. But like the kids don't even know. I don't know when they're going to realize, hey, we have a really cool life getting to go see everything. The whole.
When they're 30.
Alien,
yep.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Like
Sorry.
We even had Jesse's 5th birthday at the Children's Museum in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it's just funny because I'm like, you've had birthday parties all over the U.S. No other kids really do this.
That's amazing.
That is cool.
Yeah, when they turn 30, they'll realize Wait a minute.
We had it good.
That was really cool.
Well, and you guys like to do a lot of adventurous things together too. And so getting to tour, do you get a chance to get out with your family and just go do a lot of stuff, or is it more on the bus, off the bus, get, you know, it's time to go?
This is a work day.
Yeah.
Routinely, it is. Yeah, because like some cities are more adventurous than other cities. Yeah. Because well, we had a day off in Eugene, Oregon, which doesn't sound cool, but then there's like mountains everywhere.
That's gorgeous.
Trees and stuff. Yeah, it's beautiful.
We actually rented a car that day, but like we actually all four of us got scooters. You know, those not electric or anything, but just four scooters, so that if there was somewhere we wanted to go that was like 2 miles away, we could get there faster. Hmm. So there's been numerous towns that you've seen us, just all four of us in a line going somewhere as fast as we can on those scooters. And so if, you know, we just look for things. And Melanie's assistant, Susan, she actually makes tour books, and in them she puts down like what's right around the venue, but then what other really interesting things are around in case somebody wants to go do it. And at the bottom, she always puts coffee shops because we have a lot of coffee snobs, in our crew. And so, I'll look at the tour book and and she'll even like put the descriptions in there of some of these places, you know, that are like parks or state parks or something like that.
Yeah.
So that really helps because we don't have to do all the work of finding something because Melanie had her do that already.
That's
so
cool.
That helped out tremendously, you know, during the week.
Well, Daniel, I like to, we really emphasize a lot how important it is for couples to have adventures together. And we, you know, some people just call them dates, but we think that's boring, so we call them adventures. And it sounds like you guys do a really good job, whether it's with the kids or together, that you make time to be intentional about having fun. And that's really encouraging. That's really cool. Even on your crazy schedule, it sounds like you do a good job of that.
Yeah.
For
one thing, Melody, so her idea of an adventure is to seek out new places to eat. We almost never eat at a chain, for one thing. And then also Yelp is our, so her thing is it's got to have more than 3 stars, first of all. But then even if the rating is high, it has to have like 200 ratings. It can't be like 50. So it's got to be like a bunch of people have gone here and it's got 4 stars. And it's not like usually American, we kind of steer away from like burgers and hot dogs, unless sometimes so that's an adventure, is trying to find a good, a place that's suitable for Melody.
But she's such a great cook. It's hard to find places that are better than her cooking. So,
usually catering on the road is terrible. So I'm just mad because the food is terrible. And then I want to come home and cook everything the right way because they messed it up. So then, you know, so I've had bad food. So this one we go and look for cupcakes and other food that might be good. So we're not eating the same stuff in catering every day.
Well, that makes it all better.
One of my fears is I'm going to get to heaven and Jesus is going to say, "You didn't eat that cupcake? Why? You didn't go to this place and have fun? I put all this stuff there. Why?" And I'm like,
I gave those people that knowledge to make a cupcake like that so that you would enjoy it.
That's right.
Why wouldn't you let me bless you?
Well,
cupcakes.
That's awesome. Well, Proverbs says that whoever refreshes will be refreshed. And man, you guys.
Yeah.
Have been a light and an inspiration to so many people for so many years, and it's been a blessing to us and to Christians and to pastors and to non-Christians that have come to know Christ at your concerts, and just your consistency, your love for each other, your love for Christ, and the consistency of your walk has been a huge blessing.
Well, and I wanted to even tell you guys this, that back a few months back, Josie was wanting to share Jesus with one of her friends at school, and she said, "I don't think she'll take a Bible from me, but you know what? She loves music. Can we please buy a Casting Crown CD so that we can give it to them to her and her sister. Aww. So she did that, yeah. And she's like, I don't know if they'll listen to it, but I know she likes harmonies, and I know she likes music, and I'm going to tell them that if she'll listen, I'll tell her if she listens to this, that she can learn some harmonies, and maybe God's word can get into her. So even in that, an 11-year-old recognizes the truth and what you're doing and is using your music as an opportunity to share Jesus with people. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a huge encouragement to us. That's when I know we're doing something right, is when somebody can take what we're doing and use it to reach somebody who doesn't know Christ. That's when I'm like, okay, somebody trusts us enough to pass us on, yeah. and use that as like a witnessing tool. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, man, we hope during this crazy time that you guys will be strengthened in your marriage and your family, and you'll be refreshed. And Juwan, you'll get every project done that you have to do around the farm there.
And, I hope you get every project done.
That's right. I think the first 2 months, I just kind of looked back. I was like, I didn't get any project done. I'm going to waste this time. So now I'm trying to cram them all in. So, but anyway. Well, thank you guys for today, man. I hope you guys have a great week. And if you were listening to this podcast, thanks so much for joining us. And what a treat we got to be able to hang out with Juwan and Melody. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.